Good morning. And good morning to people who are joining us on Zoom. We're a very select band this morning, so we'll have to be singing out. Otherwise, you'll hear me. Marion, you've got some intimations for us.
We have. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. The walking group, the next church walk takes place this afternoon. We will be visiting Townhill Loch with the usual coffee stop. Meet in the Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. Kirk Session. Kirk Session meets on Wednesday, the 29th of May at 7 p.m. Cash. Cash will meet on the 2nd of June as part of our joint service. Cash will also run on the 23rd of June when the end of session prize giving will take place. Cairnhill Gala. Chocolate appeal. Gala week starts this year on the 2nd of June with a barbecue in the manse garden. Gala day itself is Saturday the 8th of June. The church will have a stall at the gala as usual, and we need donations of chocolate for the chocolate dip. Please bring unwanted chocolate, if there is such a thing, to church any Sunday up until the 2nd of June. The collection box is in the vestibule. Plant sale, Oakley Church. There is a plant sale being held at Oakley Church on Saturday the 25th of May from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Gala Week Over 65's Afternoon Tea. You are cordially invited to the Gala Committee's Afternoon Tea event for Over 65's on Thursday the 6th of June between 1:30 and 3:30 p.m. in Cairnhill Church. Sandwiches, scones and sweet treats plus tea in a wide range of flavours, all provided by Peppermill Bothy. Add names to the list at the Spar by the 30th of May, please. Places are limited. Cúna Tuamhene Orphanage Appeal. The mission team of the West Fife Villages Churches are presenting a special appeal on behalf of the orphanage on Sunday the 2nd of June at 7 p.m. in Oakley Church. During the presentation, there will be short prayers and accompanied singing. All are welcome to attend. There's one other intimation that doesn't appear on the sheet. Volunteers are needed to assist at the joint service for the provision and serving of teas and coffees. There is a sheet in the vestibule if you wish to add your name. Thank you. Other information... intimations are on the printed sheet, and this can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. And finally, here is a quick look at the order of service.
It's good to be here in worship. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 595, O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, on this day when we celebrate your gift of the Spirit, we offer our gifts to you, gifts of our time, our talent, and our money, seeking your blessing upon all that we offer. In Jesus' name, amen. And this morning, Marian is going to be leading us in our prayers.
Let us pray. Living God, for the joy of life, the joy of faith, the joy of knowing you, we give you our grateful praise. Loving God, we remember today how you transformed the lives of the apostles, how through the breath of your Spirit, you turned their fear into confidence, their weakness into strength, their doubt into faith, and their sorrow into joy. Come to us now through that same Spirit. Take our weak and hesitant faith and fill us with unshakable trust in your purpose. Take our stumbling discipleship and grant us energy and enthusiasm to proclaim the gospel through word and deed. Take our fear and anxieties and give us courage and your peace that passes all understanding. Take our gifts and talents and use them in the service of your kingdom. Living God, help us to remember today not simply all you did once, but to rejoice in all you are doing now and all you shall continue to do through your Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ we ask it, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 600, Spirit of God, and seen as the wind. first of our readings comes from the prophet Joel and is in fact the passage that Peter quotes on the day of Pentecost. So we're going to begin by reading that passage from Joel. Kath is our reader this morning.
So our Old Testament reading is Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, and is called Day of the Lord. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Amen.
In the spring of 1915, Jerusalem, Palestine, and Syria suffered an infestation of locusts. A commentator at that time said that the approach of the swarm could be detected by a darkening of the sun. It was also said that the people of that time still referred to a previous plague some 50 years earlier. Joel would have recognized what was described. The context for the book of Joel is the day of the Lord, a calling to the people to repentance because the day of judgment was near. And the context to that message was of a crisis. Maybe more accurately, a crisis averted as a warning that the day of the Lord is to come, so be prepared. There had been an almost disaster. There had been a real plague of locusts. And if you read the beginning of the book of Joel, you'll hear a very accurate description of what happens. And of course, harvest wasn't just a thing to celebrate as a kind of romantic festival. Harvest was a moment to thank God, because without harvest, you would starve. The same is true today, but we in our society just don't recognize it. And so when he talks about the sun being darkened, and all of that is a picture of what the people were experiencing. And we don't know why that plague stopped when it did, but it did. And disaster was averted. Joel, son of Pethuel, is someone we know almost nothing about. Quite unusually, this prophetic book has nothing in it that indicates when it was written. Scholars have tried to guess from what is said, and I think about the guesses vary over about five centuries. Maybe the lack of a specific moment in history allows Joel's words to address people of different times and different moments in life. Peter uses these words in the context of Pentecost. And maybe there are a number of reasons why Peter might have gone to Joel to explain to the people what was happening on that day in Jerusalem. We tend to think of Pentecost as a Christian celebration. The origins of Pentecost in Peter's time, was a harvest festival. When we come to read the story from Acts chapter 2, the context is that harvest festival. Joel is talking about the disaster that failed harvest could bring. His words are in the context of celebrating harvest as the blessing of God, and his message is of the far greater blessing that God will pour out upon his people. It's not wrong for us to read Joel's words from a Christian perspective. That said, Joel's words were addressed to God's people, and it's likely that Peter was thinking in very similar terms. If you carry on reading the book of Acts, if you read some of the letters of the New Testament, you'll find that there was a gradual growth in understanding of what Pentecost really was, what Jesus' words before Pentecost really meant. For Peter, it must have seemed that the fulfillment of Joel's words as they celebrated harvest and Joel talked of the pouring out of the Spirit, and at a harvest festival, the Spirit is poured out. Joel's words in his context and Peter's use of this prophecy in his context are understood quite differently as the gospel breaks out beyond Jerusalem. God's people will be far more than they anticipated. One thing we should not lose sight of is that Joel's words in his time would have been revolutionary to those who heard them. The promise is that God will pour out his Spirit beyond the divisions of the society that Joel knew in his time. You see, if you were older, you were definitely wiser, and if you were younger, you were inferior. If you were male, it was a male-dominated society, and so women were not regarded in quite the same way. Masters and servants, well, that's pretty obvious. You know the hierarchy there. But the hierarchies and divisions within that society are challenged and broken in this prophecy. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And here Joel is thinking about the people of Israel, the Hebrew people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit. That would have been a challenge at the time. The promise of God pouring out his Spirit challenges the norm of that society. But the outpouring of God's Spirit has challenged all societies. The Holy Spirit is a challenge to us in our society. The hierarchies and divisions of our society may not be as clear as they were to someone like Joel, but an awful lot of those things lie underneath our thinking. We haven't gone beyond those descriptions and those hierarchies, and we've created new ones. But the divisions and hierarchies of our society are not any more important to God and the outpouring of the Spirit, whether Peter's time or our time. The Holy Spirit is a challenge to us all. We're going to sing from Mission Praise, number 18, All Over the World, the Spirit is Moving. Kath's going to read to us again, this time the very familiar story of the day of Pentecost.
So it's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And may God add his blessing to the hearing of this word. Amen.
In the days between Jesus' ascension and the day of Pentecost, all we are told is that the disciples met together and chose a replacement for Judas. Nothing is said about what they were thinking as they tried to come to terms with Jesus' words about being his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, far less to the ends of the earth. Nothing is said about their thoughts on Jesus' command that they wait for power on high, the Holy Spirit. 10 days. We might suspect that their thoughts were very much the question that was asked by the crowd at the end of that reading from Acts. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" They couldn't know what it would be like to be baptized in the Spirit. If we had read on from the people asking, "What does this mean?" we would have had the witty dismissal. Somebody in the crowd said that they were clearly drunk, they'd had too much wine. Peter, addressing the crowd, explains what they see and hear in the disciples is not wine, but the Holy Spirit. This is what Joel said would happen in the last days. If these are the last days, then the crowd in Jerusalem that day need to be as prepared as Joel expected the crowd in his time. Joel had said that God would pour out his Spirit on all people beyond the hierarchies and prejudices of that society. The word Pentecost in Greek means 50 days, and that's 50 days on from the events of Passover. It was one of the three great pilgrim festivals in Judaism. The people would be bringing the first fruits of harvest as an offering to the temple in Jerusalem. Pilgrims from all over the known world were in Jerusalem. The temple is the holiest place on earth, and those who serve in the temple are the spiritual elite. It might be worth just taking a moment and asking, who were these pilgrims? The answer is that they must have been amongst the great and the good. That means those who've got resource, money, possession, authority. These would have been the wealthier and hence higher status members of the Jewish community from around the known world. The ordinary people might have accompanied them as servants, but they certainly wouldn't have been there as pilgrims. In hearing the disciples talk in different languages, the response of that crowd from around the Mediterranean, around the Roman Empire, is, "Are not all these men speaking Galileans?" For the educated elite, there is no thought that anyone from Galilee would be multilingual and able to proclaim a message from God. Really? Would God pour out his Spirit on such rough, irreligious characters? And here in Jerusalem, we've got the temple and people who understand the nature of God and the meaning of Scripture. We've got the spiritual elite here. What are these numpties from nowhere doing? This is exactly what Joel had said centuries before. God would pour out his Spirit beyond the limitations that society sets. Long dead prophets can be venerated. Living prophets are much more difficult to cope with. This weekend, we are at the beginning of General Assembly. Tomorrow morning, Derek and I will have to be sharpish into Edinburgh because the service of Holy Communion on the Monday is a day where the Assembly Hall is pretty full of folk, and it's a great moment in the church. And maybe I should say, you can join in with that service if you want. 9:15 tomorrow morning, make sure you've got bread and wine and you're able to join with the service. You can find it, a link on the Church of Scotland website. In that assembly hall are people from all over the world, from many different denominations as guests, and some of them are invited to speak, and we hear a whole lot of languages, as well as many of our different languages around this country. We were speaking, Derek and I were speaking to one gentleman who had been sent by his wife on the clear instruction that he was to speak and make himself understood because he came from Aberdeenshire. Marion's smiling. She knows exactly what I mean. He was quite a character. Through my lifetime in the church, it has been said by a whole lot of folk in many different congregations that what we need is another Pentecost. Meaning, of course, an outpouring of God's Spirit. Now, if you're watching the General Assembly and you see that august body, and I should say to you that, there are some august people in this congregation who have been to General Assembly and taken part, even some who have been chosen to reply to the King's letter, Derek. I'm looking forward to hearing it read. A very select band. You might think, well, that might be the right place. We could be praying that the Holy Spirit will give wisdom, gifts, and energy to the leadership of the Church of Scotland. And can I say, so you should. Tongues of fire and the sound of a rushing wind in the assembly hall would certainly cause a stir. Of course, to be true to that first Pentecost, if we are calling for the fire of the Spirit, it is more likely to be a much more ordinary, modest group of people that God chooses. Not the great and the good. You know, could you imagine that God, in his infinite wisdom, would choose ordinary folk from something like a wee West Fife village kirk? We need to get real. You might as well say that God would set this whole thing off by choosing a bunch of nobodies from Galilee. If we're praying for the Spirit, where will God send his Spirit? We're now going to sing a love that sets all people free. That's hymn number 622.
Thank you.
Now, Marian is going to lead us in our prayers for the world.
Let us pray. Gracious God, reach out to our broken and bleeding world and bind up its wounds. Reach out to those who are sorrowful and hurting and bring comfort deep within. Reach out to all who walk through the valley of tears and bring the assurance that those who mourn will one day laugh, that by your grace tears will give way to laughter and despair to delight. Sovereign God, hear our prayer for all those to whom you have entrusted positions of leadership and responsibility. Grant them wisdom in their decisions, courage to hold fast to what is right, integrity in their dealings, and a genuine commitment to the good of all those they serve. In a moment of silence, we pray for those who are uppermost in our minds and those who are closest to our hearts. Lord of all, hear the cry of the oppressed and exploited, the hungry and the homeless, the sick and suffering, and help us to hear it too and to respond in your name. Amen.
One of my conversations yesterday at General Assembly at one of our breaks was a gentleman representing another Christian denomination. He was in uniform, and I asked him, what do you think, can you guess which hymn we might be singing tomorrow, since I'm asking you? And he smiled at me and guessed that we might be singing, O God of Burning Cleansing Flame. And he said, we are beginning with it. And I said, well, we are concluding with it, showing that across the breadth of the church, we are saying and singing and believing and thinking the same thing. So let's sing that Salvation Army hymn, O God of Burning Cleansing Flame.
O God of Burning.
O God of Burning.
Send
the Pentecost.
Spirit, to love and to serve, to be God's people in the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.